Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Easy, most known unknown, Easy Old Soul, checking in with you guys one more again. We have a special caller calling up today. My cousin, Mr. Alvin Gray, the mercenary. We're going to check in with him. He has a match coming up in about a week and a half. In the Just Pro Wrestling circuit, it's the indie circuit. As far as I know, based out of Chicago, but he's going to call in and let us know all the info on that. We're also going to talk to him about how he got started in the wrestling field. Should be an interesting one today. I can tell you guys that when he had first, when I first seen his post, his wrestling, because I didn't even know he was a part of it. I had always seen him, like, with workout videos and stuff like that. And, you know, I always seen him training, but I never knew for what it was. So I would always just see stuff go past the page. Oh, okay, he's on. Let me bring him on. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? What's going on, Kurt?
Yeah, can you hear me? What's happening? What's happening, man?
Yeah, I got you. How you feeling, man?
Feeling good. I'm actually enjoying this nice, beautiful, warm weather here in Florida. Enjoying myself. Taking a much-needed vacation.
I know you work hard, man. Every time you hit me up, it's like after hours, and I'm always like, what is this man doing? Just working hard.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Much needed for you, man. And right before, you know, the week before your match. So that's always good. Always good to take a load off every now and then.
Oh, yeah. Good R&R before a show is always good for me.
But ladies and gentlemen, this is my cousin, the man, the main man, mercenary Alvin Gray. It's up to the people.
How you doing? Hello, people. How you doing?
And I was just telling everybody how I came to find out that you wrestle and stuff like that, and it was kind of crazy because I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't even thinking anybody in the family did any wrestling unless it was like old school bed outside the projects, flipping on matches,
Midwest
type of wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think it honestly.
All
right. Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off. But yeah, It was very surprising to a lot of people, and not just family, but a lot of close friends and friends from high school that, you know, didn't really expect that out of me to just up and just start a career in professional wrestling. Not normally just because of my size, but because of the fact that, you know, we're on the south side of Chicago. You know, what person in their bright mind would say, you know, who's from the south side of Chicago would say, hey, I'm going to say screw it and become a professional wrestler, right?
And that's why I was happy to see that, man. But that was one of the things I was going to ask you. How did you get into it, or what made you get into want to even think the thought of wrestling? Because most of us don't. We have the thoughts, but we don't just go.
Yeah. What got me started, well, it actually started when I was like 6 years old when I first watched it. You know, back in the day, I was staying with my grandmother on 83rd, and my Uncle Keith, he was passed out asleep on his bed, and WCW was on at the time. And I just fell in love with it, seeing all the personalities and the styles, different styles of wrestling. You got Hulk Hogan, who was a big star at the time there. And you got guys like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit tearing it up in the cruiserweight division for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, years later, take you back 2 years, I actually decided to go to an indie show. It was my very first indie show, actually, with my best friend. My best friend's dad had invited me to go, and he's like, yeah, there's this wrestling show out in on the northwest side called JPW. It's my second time going. He said it was cool for me to come with him and the family to check it out. So I said, why not, you know? It's good to see, you know, future talents before they make it to the big time, you know?
Right.
So, we'll fast forward to the day of the show. We get there, and, like, the seats were, like, so close to the ring, like, I was starting to get goosebumps, you know? I was getting an itch. Like, man, I just want to get in there and just run the ropes and you know, talk trash on the microphone, you know, all that jazz. And it was like seeing the guys perform and seeing them do their thing, it was what intrigued me even more. You know, seeing Johnny Andrews out there in the battle royal with the endless amount of talent that we got on our roster. Like I stated before, Johnny Andrews is our current heavyweight champion right now doing his thing. Then you got former tag team champions, the Strong Prodigies, which consists of Mike Strong and Kid Prodigy. Those two actually had a singles competition match, and I shit you not, man, that was the nail in the coffin for me to decide to, you know, to just, you know, just do it, man. Screw it. I didn't care about injuries and stuff no more and traveling on the roads. I was like, man, just do it, man. I had the Iceman Tim Norton, who I had a rivalry with, my first startup in the business. I spoke with him and asked him how I can get involved, and he got in touch with me with the promoters there and everything, and it was history from there, you know.
Oh, okay. Okay, so not too long ago, and I will say, when I first, you know, seen your promotion for your match, and I believe it was that one. I believe I came in on a Halloween match. That was the first time catching, I believe so. And I got to say, that was actually my first live wrestling event as well. And, you know, I was actually looking for you, like, everywhere in that. Like, you ain't even here, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking I came on the wrong night or at the wrong time, or you might have packed up already. But little do I know that you sitting right in the crowd with us. And I didn't even know it was you, man. Like, wow. It was so funny because when I seen you in it just made me crazy, man. Like, you actually bought the entertainment factor back for me. Like, I've seen wrestling lately, and I haven't. It's not the same as where you came and you said Hulk Hogan. And so I think you still fairly with me.
Yeah, around
today,
the golden era, and
I like
that,
wrestling. Yeah, I like wrestling today. It's not as effective. I don't know. It was so fun to watch back in the day. You never knew what was going to happen. It was just so crazy. And then when I seen you and what you did in the ring, it was like, wow. There we go, man. That's what I'm talking about, man. Just a little bit of that. I need a little bit of, I don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's the kind of, I don't want to say flavor, but that's the kind of thing I want to bring back into professional wrestling. You know, that not so much expectational kind of feeling, you know, that people like are going to expect what's going to happen next or expect what's the next wrestler's move. You know, I want to be that unpredictable entity in the wrestling business. You know, you never know what's going to come out of me next. You don't know who I'm coming after next, you know, but yeah, it was a good trick. It was a good trick, and I came up with the idea, and I pitched it to the front office. They loved it, and they told me, you know, yeah, just run it with the front office, and then they were like, you know what, yeah, that's a good idea, you know, just don't kill anybody while you're, you know, and of course, you know, I didn't keep my end of the bargain, and I just jumped down on Tim and. Around that time, that was just me trying to make a name for myself in the business, you know, and
you
basically trying to put my name.
Right.
Yeah, I was trying to just basically tell everybody, you know, I'm here and I'm here to be the next big dog in the yard. Like, I run that ring. That's basically what I was trying to prove to everybody.
That's what I got. I mean, I was shocked. Did everything that I did not see coming. Not to say that the other guys weren't entertaining. It was great. I love to see them. You know, you got a lot of high flyers. You got a lot of powerful, big man. Oh, man. It's triumphant in those rings. And just to see you go, like, a different route. Like, the chair was so unexpected. It was so unexpected. I'm like, did this man really just grab a chair? Can you do that? That's the type of questions I'm asking. Like, can you do that? Yeah, is that okay? He gonna do it anyway. My man, he gonna do that anyway. That's what I'm talking about. Get that check. Go ahead,
cuz. Yeah, I'm a mercenary, man. I make my own rules, dude.
I'm so shocked that I'm like, only a damn Dismukes. Only a damn Dismukes gets in the ring and does whatever the hell he wants.
Exactly. I gotta keep that family name strong.
Oh man! And then the other event where we all came and everything, and I know everybody was excited to see you and everything like that. But I don't think they knew that you gotta play a bad guy in the ring. I think that's what surprised them the most.
I knew this one was coming. Yeah,
oh,
like, I wanted.
Hey, I was
everybody. Everybody expected me to be like the good guy in the scenario when I fought Livewire that day, and God bless that man.
Oh,
he just announced his retirement, and I'm gonna take this time out to I want to take this time out to just say my thank yous to him. He introduced me to a lot of big names that I honestly would never even fathom to even sit down and pick their brains. But I think that was the point of me drawing that crowd in, hence our family. They not only did they, show up and represent and took up like a whole section. Like I loved it. But the fact that I came out there and they're cheering for me and I'm staring at them like, okay, Al, don't
I
recognize
see you
them.
Get caught up in the moment.
I was a little choked up. Like I was trying to hold back everything in me not to cry and whatnot, because y'all really came through by like a truckload, man. And I was like, I was standing there like,
yeah, man.
Composure, Al. Composure.
You can see
I had a role to play,
I can
man.
See it in your face. And as soon as you got to shut up, everybody, sit down. Everybody's looking at me like, what's going on with that man? Hey, that was great, man. Don't ask me. Don't ask me.
Right.
I didn't put him up to it. That man is exactly what he said, a mercenary. He don't care. He don't care if you're family.
Exactly.
Ass down, like he said.
Exactly. I was at that day. On that day, I'm glad that everybody understood that I was playing a role, and that role was to beat the crap out of Livewire and take that championship and bring it back home.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, that was honestly one of the – yeah, that was honestly one of the best performances I've put on, and everybody in the locker room gave me the props for, winning the championship and putting on one of the best matches on the card. I mean, I had a lot of it's a lot of competition on every card I'm on, especially when there's like big name guys that I'm on the card with, like James Storm or Brutus the Barber Beefcake, or the list goes on with the number of guys that I've shared a locker room with big names that I have the honor to share a locker room with and to share a card with. But, that match there in particular, that's one of my top five favorite matches I performed in.
I would have to say, man, that was definitely a proud moment, man, because you fought so hard in that match, man. And you had everything under your arsenal that you could use, and that man was not going down easily, man. Me and the family just sitting in the crowd like, man, we got to get in there, man. We felt like helping almost every time.
Oh, my God. My dad was like, he pulled me to the side. Yeah. My dad even pulled me to the side after the match. And he's like, man, I was about to jump up in. I was like, yeah, you would have did that. Security would have been pulling your ass out of the ring. I can't have I understand it's a Disney thing. When one of us is in trouble, we all got to jump
man.
In. But then. In this kind of business, we can't do that.
I had him on the sideline like, hey, y'all got to chill, man. It's this
right.
I had the wrestlers like staring them down, talking shit. They give me shit right back, and I'm like, oh my God, where is this go? I can only control so many Disney's.
Yeah, quite to be truthful,
even the girls.
Yeah, to be truthful with you, a lot of the wrestlers in the locker room that I'm with, they, like, all they kept saying was, man, you guys see that family over there by the DJ? And they're talking about you guys, right? Like, yeah, like, they're going fucking nuts, man. I love them. And then, like, I heard Sanella was getting some heat when she was out there with Chris Masenkai for his match. And, they were on her heels that night, man. And I was like, God, Jesus, now I got to make a phone call to Chris and apologize. And Sanella and Chris come back there with smiles on their faces after they do their set. And they're like, man, that crowd over there, is that your family? I was like, oh, crap, yeah, I'm finna get it now. And it's like, dude, your family is awesome. They're like the best part of the fucking show. I'm like, Jesus, okay. Like, that's why I always try to invite you guys to almost every event I'm performing in, because things like that, like, it just makes my job I wouldn't say it makes it easier, but it makes it a lot more pleasurable when everybody, you know, in the locker room is not only having fun, but they're you know, getting that crowd interaction that they always love to enjoy getting. You know?
Yeah, because I see sometimes, like, you had the guys come out and they throw it at the crowd, and you have a couple of crowd members, like, heckling, but just to see a unison of crowd members, like, man, Dad, we ready for whatever you ready for. You know, what you want to do. Well, let's go. That was the great part about it. And then, I'm sorry, man, I think you actually, I don't think you meant to do it, but I'm like, yeah, that's just the tales of the mercenary. Like, one of the kids was rooting so hard for Livewire, so hard, and when you beat him, he was just in tears. I'm like, oh, man, I feel bad for the man, but I kind of got to stick up my cousin. I didn't know where to go with it. It was so terrible. Like, man,
it's all a part of the job.
And the kid is looking
at
us. We had problems with him, like, the whole day, too. He's just looking at us like, no, he's going to win. I don't want to upset him, man.
Man,
my money's on
the house. you gotta be careful with crowds these days. You don't want to end up like me, getting a ticket snatched away from a former friend of mine and shit, you know?
Oh, man.
These crowds these days don't know how to, like, really, like, in my opinion, crowds compared to how they were back in the 90s, they're a lot more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just stating that as a fact, because I'm pretty sure you've seen
it
on Facebook. Yeah, you seen it on Facebook that I was kind of pissed off on. I came back from watching a recent. I came back from seeing a live Raw taping, pretty much, and my SmackDown ticket got revoked from a friend of mine. That was not cool.
Wow.
Long story short, there was a fan sitting behind me. She was a preteen and whatnot. And it was the main event, and it was Kevin Owens going up against Roman Reigns. And long story short, man, I was just trying to get my section to act like a wrestling crowd, and it didn't work out in my favor. And I had a 40-year-old guy who was a John Cena fan, probably sitting at home watching one of his matches, eating a bowl of Fruity Pebbles and footy pajamas right now as we speak. He was threatening me to fight me in the parking lot, and, you know, me – I'm walking to the car, but I'm looking for the guy. Like, I'm ready to fight, motherfucker. Like, come on, show your face. I'm looking for him while we're making our way to the car. Escorting my sisters to the car, and I'm looking for this guy. Like, man, I got to make sure my sisters are going the right way to the car, but I still want to run into this motherfucker before I go. And then we get into the car, and my friend's like, dude, you should have been the bigger man. I'm taking your ticket from SmackDown. You're not going to SmackDown tomorrow. I'm like, really? And yeah, that was the end of that friendship.
That was
I missed
terrible,
the whole,
man. Yeah, it's definitely a different crowd nowadays. You can't really say anything,
man,
about any. Everybody gets so hurt by you saying that you have a favorite wrestler that's not their favorite wrestler or something like that. Like, what's the problem, man? That's how you express it. Not my favorite wrestler, not always going to be your favorite wrestler. But sometimes you end up falling in love with their favorite wrestler. You know, back in the day, it was just that fun, you know what I'm saying? It could go either way, you know? So it's definitely a different crowd now. It almost makes you think, like, where have we went wrong with the sensitivity nowadays? But I hear you, man. That's crazy.
To be truthful with you for a second, man, I honestly think,
mm-hmm,
as far as, like, what did we get wrong with the crowd these days, I honestly have to blame the fact that the PG era was what killed it. I'm sad to say it, because I plan on working for this company in the future, but the PG era is what killed it. You know, like, I understand trying to be more family orientated because they're on a national TV network, which
right.
is USA Network and all. And, you know, USA Network is kind of family friendly and all that. And they're starting to get more and more publicity ads and all that stuff. And they're working with other networks like Nickelodeon and all that. But, you know,
yeah,
it's the fact that they kind of like, they made it more elementary now these days. And it's like, when you make your program elementary, you know, the crowd follows with it. And, you know, the kind of crowd,
mm-hmm.
like it kind of goes along with one of those things that, you know, my grandmother tried to instill with us in a lesson saying, you know, how's it go? The bad apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was like, as soon as they went PG, the kids kept coming in. And I think that's what brought the dollar signs into Mr. McMahon and whatnot. I hope this really does not get to his ears. But, yeah, I think that's what changed the fans was when, you know, when the programming died down, but it just dumbed down to the TG era. And, you know, the crowd just changed. It just went from more adult content to the more, you know, like I said, back to the elementary comment I made, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because that's kind of what I was thinking when, like, I came back to watching wrestling. It was a very long time. I think I spent like a good 4 to 5 years off. And I was watching my Saturday cartoons because I'm a big cartoon fan. As you know, the Disney man, we are very hip to the cartoons, the anime and stuff
that.
Our women don't really understand us on that. Maybe you got a woman that understands you. My woman don't really understand me on that. But
my lady does understand
me. Over that
we were watching... We were watching cartoons actually this morning.
Yeah. Well, she got her, my lady got her own cartoon, so she's fine on that one, but yeah.
Yeah,
so I do that. And then I caught a match on Saturday because they was doing like an hour of like preview show and stuff like that. And they had some man, I think his name was like Dino Disco or something like that, and he was like a dancing wrestler, and he did like the Dino dance, and it was a very
Funkasaurus
friendly match. Yeah, I wasn't really at all, but you know, I get it because you know you do want to get the kids involved. But the funniest part is for me, I guess ratings do. I get that, but I think you bought in more fans back in the day, which might be false for me, because of what you brought to the table, because of the stuff that we knew we was going to see, or the things that we thought we was never going to see, you know what I'm saying? I never thought I'd see, you know, Vince getting sprayed with a milk truck or anything like that, or, you know, cars catching on fire, exploding and stuff like that, and you know, I just wasn't expecting certain stuff, you know, and that's what made it great, that's what made me tune in, that's what made me get in trouble before I went to sleep, because I'm watching extra 5 minutes of what's happening on SmackDown, and I know my mom in another room just waiting for me to turn on the TV loud enough for her to hear with my ass, you know, it's those type of things that I wanted to do, because I love wrestling.
Yeah, like
those type of things. So.
I would say this, like kids my age that were watching it, like let's take this as an example. Like me in the third grade, I used to go to Bridgeview Elementary, and we would talk about, you know, we would guess what the hell would happen on like the next episode of Raw or SmackDown or what superstar is gonna be in like the like let's say the upcoming Royal Rumble and whatnot, you know. Like,
yeah,
we weren't into, like, we would say, like, yeah, like, we're guys. We're going to see divas be, like, half naked and all that jazz back then. But that wouldn't draw us in. What drew us in as kids was the action. That's what really drew us in, was the unpredictability that the WWE used to have. And now, it's like I said, now it's like, man, we're getting to the point where, you know, now that they're doing the split brands again, we're getting the same matches over and over again, and you're, like, always predicting what's going to happen next, you know. And I think that's what I said. I think that's what killed it a lot for some of the fans that don't even tune in anymore, you know, and grew out of it, so to speak. You know, like, it is what it is these days.
Yeah, and I will admit, seeing you is, like I said, what brought it back for me. Like, the electricness of, you know, what's going to happen. Like, that's it might be scripted for some, but you played well to where you wouldn't even know that if it was scripted, you know, what's going to happen, what's coming next. And that's what I appreciate. I see that life in you. And so that embodiment for me is great, especially coming out of a Disney, because I feel like we definitely know what we want to see. So I feel like that's what we imitate. You know what I'm saying? Like, predictability is, it gets too common. I really want to see something that I don't know what's going to happen. And that's what I see in your matches. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know which way this match going to go. All I know is my money's on Cuz regardless.
Exactly. Like I said, I appreciate the nice words too, but it's like I said, it's all within my job description of what I'm trying to bring into the table as far as professional wrestling goes. I'm trying to bring that unpredictability back. Not only that, I'm trying to show that guys my size, like cruiserweights, we do have a place in wrestling. You know, as you've seen recently, you know, the cruiserweights are finally getting recognized, having their own show, their own title. You know, there's a lot of big names on the roster on 205 Live. A lot of guys I do want to work with, especially Cedric Alexander, who I've studied on numerous occasions during different matches and stuff. And another guy I would love to get in the ring with is Jack Gallagher. That guy, not only because of his submission wrestling and his technical wrestling ability, but the fact that the guy is pretty darn entertaining and very charismatic. And I think we would have good chemistry in the future if we were ever to do battle in the ring. But yeah, like, I just want to bring that. I want to bring that electricity and that unpredictability into professional wrestling and make it relevant again, as well as help make cruiserweights make them more relevant into the business when I get there.
Yeah. I've always, Chris Benoit was one of my favorites, you know, rest in peace to him. And he was definitely one of the smaller gentlemen, but he wasn't the man that you wanted to play with. I learned that when I seen him in matches with, like, people size of Big Show, and he's not backing down. You know, he's going to come at you. He won a championship, world championship. So he let you know that guys, no matter how small, no matter how, you know, much of an underdog you are, you can do those type of things. You can be focused on those type of things. As long as you work hard enough, you can get there. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
And so he's one of my favorite technical wrestlers. You know what I'm saying? He's very prestigious.
Yeah.
And yeah, yep. Like I say, you are definitely one of my favorites, man. I'm looking forward to seeing you. What, we got like a week and a half, maybe? No, not like a week.
I'm going up against, I got a match coming up next week, next Saturday, against Cage McVey, a very, very talented young man, dude. Like, this guy, I've seen this guy do some amazing stuff. I don't know if you were in the house when we did the last event at Chi-Town Football, but, man, this guy is really, really good at what he does, and I really can't wait to mix it up in the ring with him. You know, now that I'm a good guy,
man,
I can actually, you know, enjoy matches and rather than doing business with dirty people. I think what happened to me and LMJ, I think that was karma biting me in the backside, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I gotta like repackage myself in a way with this match. I gotta test myself with this match. So a lot of I got a feeling that I'm gonna be at my peak in this match. I'm gonna meet my limit. I'm going to be pushed towards it, and I look forward to it. And plus, I know I'm going to be in probably a lot of pain because that guy, like I said, he's a big guy. There's no shame about his size at all.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him.
And,
I've seen him.
Yeah, I really.
Because for one, he's in for one. This bad.
Yeah. I thought I was in it when I got into that mix-up with the Iceman and Livewire. Here I am fighting Cage McVey, who could potentially be our next JPW heavyweight champion in the future for our business, man. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. He's the real deal.
Yeah. But Yeah, my money's still on you, cuz. I don't care who gets in the ring with you. You are a very dangerous man in that ring. So, yeah.
That I appreciate that, man.
I hear you. I hear you. You know, I hear what you're saying. And I respect it. But I'm still going with you. I don't care what really happens as far as what he thinks. My money's on you.
I appreciate
that
support,
bro. Matter
of
fact, I think you proved to me that you don't have no limits. So.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
I don't require limits at all. Like, no, none whatsoever, man.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to the match. What's coming next for you after this match?
After this match, I'm not entirely sure, but I would like to do and I would like to finish some unfinished business that I got with a loose end, which is LMJ. You know, and I spoke briefly about that because this certain situation that me and LMJ got, it's terrible, man. It's terrible. It's like I said, it's like karma had just came back and bit me in the ass when I worked with him, you know. But I really would like to talk to front office to see if I can get that settled and get that squared away. Because the man honestly screwed me. And I, you know, like I said, when I first started out, I was just trying to get my name out there, work with the right people, you know, and I just instilled my trust in the wrong guy. And it cost me a very, very prestigious title for our company, and I really would like to give him his comeuppance for that.
Yeah.
So
and it's all about.
I would
learning.
Really love to finish that.
The learning curve. And every time I see you, I know I've seen improvement. So, and I know you always working hard. So it's rightfully so. And you know, I'm hoping that it works out because that's gonna make for a better match for you. I already know. and of course, you know, I'm gonna check you this week. The show came to a close, or we're coming to a close. And I'm definitely looking forward to it. Hopefully I can catch you maybe after the match. Maybe I can get an interview with you then, like live interview. But we'll work those out, you know, when I see you. And just enjoy your time, man. Enjoy your time in sunny Florida and, you know, have a great time, man. And I'm looking forward to the match, man. I know it's going to be action-packed when you're in the building.
Yeah, I definitely will enjoy the heat here because I know as soon as I get back home, that cold air is going to be smacking me in the face. It's gonna be the worst smack of my life. Worse than that billionaire bitch smack by Stephanie McMahon. So I'm enjoying as much sun as I can.
Oh man. Hey, you know what, I'm gonna holler at you because we're gonna get out of here on the show. This is Easy Most Known Unknown Easy Also, and I'm gonna check out with you. Mr. Alvin Gray, I'll see you later,
man. See you later, man.
All right, man.
All right.